Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to begin at this evening. Like Pop said, I've been studying the Sermon on the Mount for quite a while. I have found it beneficial. I feel like I've learned a lot. It seems like every time I look at the Sermon on the Mount, I see something else that I need to work on. And so it's helped me a lot, and kind of let me know what kind of where I stand as a Christian. I'm always lacking, or that's how I look at it. Brian said, "Well, you're just growing as a Christian." I was like, "Well, that's very sweet of you, darling." Nice words. If you have a Bible, you want to look at Matthew chapter 6. Before we begin, there's a common theme that we see in these first, at least to the first 18 verses. In Matthew 6 in verse 4, it's talking about alms there, in the beginning of that. I covered that last time I spoke, but just to reiterate that, because it as well goes along with everything else that I'm, looking at. It says, "The Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." This is talking about prayer. Alms is in verse 4. It says that the alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then you skip on to verse 18. It says that thou appear unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So is what we're looking at is the inward man. And like I said, we already have covered alms, so this afternoon we're going to look at prayer and fasting. We're going to begin in Matthew 6 and verse 5. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." This, the word hypocrite, he's an actor. That's just what that word means, is it's someone that pretends to be something that they're not. The same as we see hypocrites today. You know, you think about our prayer life, and, I think about praying in secret. You know, there's a lot of things that I tell God in secret that I don't, whenever we pray here in the assembly, that I don't mention. It's just, I think there's a time, for public prayer, and, the things that need to be said in public prayer. I'm not going to tell you all my deepest and darkest sins whenever we pray here in this building. And I don't think that we should. I mean, I think that we have stuff that we struggle with. And as we go into further look into prayer, I think there is a time and a place for public prayer. And, but this, what we're going to be looking at today, it's the inward man. And that's one of the reasons he tells them to shut the door and pray in private. You know, God wants to have a relationship with us as Christians. He wants to have that intimate relationship. And we'll get into that more as we look at fasting in the later part of this, in chapter 6. But, you know, God knows, He knows our deepest and darkest secrets. And, make this analogy as a parent, you know, I see my children playing sometimes, or I see them doing something, and you ever see them get really discouraged. I mean, something's bothering them. You can tell something's bothering them. You can go up to them and say, "Hey, you know, what's wrong?" And they, "Oh, nothing. It's nothing. I'm okay." And you know that something's wrong with them, but they won't tell you. And then you have other scenarios where you see that your child is struggling, and you go to them and say, "What's wrong?" And they just break down. They start bawling and say, "Well, this kid pushed me," or something. You know, I like it whenever they tell me what's wrong with them, because I can help then. I mean, I can help them through that scenario. I mean, I'm not real knowledgeable, but I think I can help my sons grow And I try to mold them into something that I think they should be, and they don't always fit that mold. And I don't either as a Christian. I don't fit the mold that Christ would have me to be. But as a parent, looking at it from that scenario, I think God would much rather us go to Him in secret and tell Him all of our problems and say, God, I need your help. I need you to help me get through this situation because I can't do it on my own. Instead, I can do this. You know, I can muscle through this. I'm, you know, it's on me. I got this. I can handle it. I can do it on my own. So what Christ is teaching His disciples is that you need to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and you need to be intimate with Him and tell Him your sins. Tell Him your struggles. What is wrong so He can help you? I don't think there's any problem that is too big that God can't handle. I think if I fervently pray that somebody be healed, I think they'll be healed. If it be His will. No, it might not be. I mean, Christ Himself prayed for this cup to be removed from Him. But it didn't. You know, it's not God's will. And I think a lot of times I had men in the military that prayed that we'd all make it home safe. That we'd have a good deployment, we'd do a lot of good for the people of Iraq, that we'd all make it home safe. We started out with over 20 originally in that platoon. By the time that original platoon got back, we were down to 10. We lost 50% of our platoon. And a lot of those guys, they looked at that and they just break down and they say, you know, God abandoned us. You know, we prayed for God to get us out of this. We went to Him in prayer for God to save us, and He did not. Some things God leaves up to us. You know, was it God's plan that they joined the military to begin with? I don't know. He left that up to you. He gave us a freedom to decide, a free will, and that's what makes us human. So back to Matthew chapter 6. Pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. I think Christ has great plans for us, for each and every one of us. I think He has a way to use each and every one of us. And just because we pray for something that, you know, in the end it might not be His will that you become a millionaire and you win the lotto. You know, that's just, yeah, I don't pray for that, but there might be some that do that, you know, and like Pop always said, he said, you know, I think God knew me very well because He did not make me a rich man. You know, He knew my innards better than I do. Consider your prayer this evening as we continue this and the things that you pray for. I know, I got to the point that I understood that I needed to pray for a peace of mind and a peace at heart, because with that peace, I could function as a human being. I mean, I've come to realize that there's little things in life that I need to pray for, but more importantly, I need to pray that I myself can be a better person to those that are around about me. That I might be that shining light. And I cannot do that whenever I'm worried about all the other little stuff around me. Whenever I let that stuff consume me, I can't be the Christian that God would have me to be. You know, I don't need to worry about hurting Joshua's feelings. You know, because I need to be that shining light, and if his feelings get hurt because I'm that shining light, then so be it. I need to be a Christian no matter what. But consider your prayers as we go through this lesson. James 5:13 says, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of our Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, there comes a time in everybody's life whenever they're going to hit rock bottom. I've met a whole bunch of people, and at some point, I've never have met anybody that hasn't hit what they call a rock bottom. Maybe you know somebody. I personally do not. At some point, we're going to hit rock bottom, and the only ones that are going to get us out of that hole, that very deep, deep hole, is your brothers and sisters in Christ. I think this passage right here pertains to brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't think this pertains to, well, it wouldn't pertain to just everybody because they wouldn't pray to God, but we need to be there for one another. You know, just because somebody doesn't come to you and say, I need your prayers, you know, I can tell whenever my children are falling apart. I've known some of you long enough that when I walk in the room, I can tell you whenever Josh is in a bad mood. You know, I mean, he just frowns. I mean, he's just, this frown just like an upside down grin. I can tell you whenever he's in a bad mood and I can pray for him. He doesn't have to come for me to do that. I'm his brother in Christ, Brother Britt. I mean, I can kick him in the shin and then turn around and pray for him that his shin not hurt. I mean, it's still going to hurt, but I can pray that he has a better understanding of our situation. So, all joking aside, we need to be there for one another and pray for one another fervently. You know, these are, you know, I told Braun, I mean, we got to drag each other to heaven kicking and screaming all the way. I mean, because that's what it's going to take. Verse 7 and 8 of Matthew 6 says, but when thou prayest, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Unlike myself, I do not believe that God is hard hearing. I believe he hears you. He does not need hearing aids. He does not need you to ramble and continue on. Now, praying for the same thing every day until there's a change in your life, I believe we should fervently pray about things, about the sin in our life every day, every hour of the day, until we can make it better. He knows what we have needs of before we ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There at the top of this, that hallowed, it means to be holy. Thy kingdom come. The word kingdom here, means to reign. There's a lot of people that believe that this verse is talking about Christ praying for his kingdom, for it all to be over. I do not believe that's what these verses actually pertain, what they're talking about. It said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, in heaven, God's law is that's it. You know, God would have us to obey him. Pick up there at 13, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. John 3:15 and 16 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Got some slides out of place. You'll have to excuse me for a second. We see that God loved us, but he wants us to believe in him and to obey him. Believe in the gospel and obey the gospel plan of salvation. That is his will. And I believe that Christ is teaching us to pray in that manner that all would come to know him. When he's talking about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, you as we heard the lesson this morning whenever Brother Kenneth was closing, you know, wouldn't it be a wonderful place, a beautiful world, if everybody had Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I mean, it's something so beautiful that I can't even imagine it, and that's here on earth. You know, but you even think of heaven, though. You know, God doesn't want anybody in the pits of hell. It's not his will. His will is that everybody would come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So what is this then? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, that one stumped a lot of different guys online. They said, well, God has to tempt us then. Isn't that what that verse says? Lead us not into temptation. So does God lead you into temptation? If you can pray for him not to, is he the one that causes us to be led into temptation? Luke 22:42, Christ's prayer to the Father saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, I believe that God has the power. I know he has the power over the tempter. I believe he has the power to have us not to suffer. I believe he does. But I also believe that we are tested. As Christians, we go through trials and tribulations. I never believe that for any moment that there's any time that he gives us more than we can handle. I know that. I have scripture to back that up. But I do believe that if you're willing to pray that this trial, this temptation be removed from us, that it will. Matthew 6:14-15 says, for if you if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, in Matthew 18, Peter asked Christ, how many times must I forgive my brethren? 7 times? I believe his answer was 70 times 7. No, I don't have anything against anybody to reason to not to forgive them whenever I'm looking at my own sins being forgiven. There's no grudge on earth that is worth that. Next, we're going to look at fasting. There's some believe that the fasting really doesn't apply to us today. And I can agree with them in one aspect, that fasting does apply to us, but it not only consists of food, but it also consists of all these little electronic devices that we have. But whenever we fast, I believe that we need to shut down. I believe we need to go to God in prayer. Never do you see fasting in the Bible, scriptural fasting, when it's not tied to prayer. If it's not tied to prayer, the only thing going on is that they're fasting over a grievous situation, somebody passing, something like that. Every other time in the New Testament, whenever it's talking about fasting, it's talking about fasting and prayer. They go hand in hand with one another. 1 Corinthians 9:25-27 says, every man that striveth for the magistracy is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. This word temperate is talking about self-restraint. And that's what fasting is. I mean, that's denying the body the one thing that it needs to keep going, or at least it thinks it needs to keep going. My body is in the habit of eating. I have realized that. I can go, I have enough fat on my body to probably go a long time without eating anything. But we get into this habit of being comforted all the time. And they don't call it comfort food for no reason. I mean, it's pasta. That's what comfort food is pasta. He says for us to be temperate and bring our body into subjection. Fasting is a way we can practice self-restraint. And more importantly, it is a way that we humble ourselves. Psalms 35:13, it says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my repair returned unto mine own bosom. We humble ourselves with fasting. We deny ourselves that earthly sustainment to get that to focus on our spiritual needs. You know, another thing that a person should consider is how long it actually took them to eat food in the Old Testament. They did not have microwaves. They did not have a refrigerator. You know, it took quite a while to grab a snack. I mean, we're talking, especially if it wasn't salted down. If that snack was still running around out there in the field, you had to go catch it. You had to pluck it or skin it, gut it, quarter it, and then finally get to something that's edible, but then it has to be cooked. Well, in order to do that, you got to go out there and you got to gather the wood. You got to make a fire. It takes all this prep work just to eat something. And the way I figured it, by the time I got it prepped and ready to eat, it'd turn around and be the Sabbath and I wouldn't get to eat anyway. It's what would happen. David humbled himself before God in 2 Samuel 12:17. You know, he prayed and fasted that that God would save his son. I think a good example of our prayers not always coming true. It was not God's will that his son be saved. I believe if it was, he definitely would have done it. He humbled himself before God and went to him, pleading with him. Philippians 4 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, fasting is the most humbling way we can go before God in prayer. Denying our flesh the things it desires and going to God in prayer in the most humbling manner. You know, I've only made it 3 days without eating anything. And for some reason I walked by the refrigerator. I don't know why I did it. And there was a chunk of cheese in there. And that was it. It was all over. My self-restraint went out the window. The Old Testament talks about vexing the soul or vexing the body, and it talks about humbling oneself. And every time that's what it's talking about is going without food. Sometimes the prophets, they went weeks on end. Sometimes they only went 2 or 3 days. But it seemed like whenever they were most concerned and they were most troubled, they approached God in the most humbling way they knew how, and that was through fasting. Verses 16 through 18 says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, or as a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Your fasting is between you and God. That's it. There's one instance that I found where a congregation fasted as a group whenever they were appointing elders and deacons. That's the only time I read of other people knowing that you're fasting, other than these hypocrites, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They would show up, they would make it look like their eyes were sunk in, that their body had been lacking. God wants to have a relationship with us that surpasses anything else. I believe if we could always seek to have that relationship with Him and always go to Him in a humbling manner, I think as Christians we could greatly benefit from it. The lesson is yours this evening. I hope I've said something that's been beneficial to you. As Christians, I believe is our job to pray one for another. And we're going to offer you that opportunity at this time. And you know, you don't have to come forward. You don't have to sit on the front row. Whenever it talks about going to the elders and have them praying over you, it says nothing about that being a public display. If you need these elders to pray for you, go to them. They'll do it. You don't have to do it in front of all of us. Nowhere does it talk about confessing your sins to us, to the church, to seek those prayers. You can come and you can tell me, "Matt, I need you to pray for me. I'm going through a difficult time. Just pray for me." And I will. And all the brothers and sisters here will do that.